Are you ready? Okay. Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And we're going to get to the heart of things. And the reason I can say that is that I finished reading this incredibly wonderful book called Song of the Heart, Walking the Path of Light. And it was so, every page was fascinating. I loved the stories. I loved the opportunity to witness through the reading the experience, the life experiences of the author, Francine Vail. Francine, welcome to Energy Stew.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me, Peter.
I'm so excited to talk to you because you're not a normal person. Did anybody ever tell you that before?
My kids have been telling that to me for years.
Right. Well, the spirits tell you that too, because you're somebody who was born into an interesting family, definitely had your life trials, challenges, because of who you are, because you really are such a heartful person that it's hard to live around people who have their own agendas going and don't make it so easy for those of us who want to just be doing good out there. So we have to end up struggling against incredible challenges. And part of your book is really about the challenges that you've had to face. And I really enjoyed being in it with you, feeling it, identifying with it, and identifying with how beautiful your essence is in handling your life. And it's such an opportunity for people to read your book and understand what it takes to be a good person. And what we're challenged with, and this is nothing new to a lot of people, that we're challenged a lot, and yet you're a special person because you not only did your best, you were persistent in being true to your heart, and as wonderful as you could be to everybody, but you also had help. And you had help from higher guidance. You had visits.
Yes. Many.
Right. And I love that because incredible spirits showed up to you that you could see and talk to. And they would have conversations with you and teach you a lot. And we're talking about very high spirits.
Yes. It really was amazing to me. Every single time, it's just so uplifting and purifying, and you're changed from each experience. You're uplifted a little bit from each experience. Your frequency is raised.
Well, a lot of people would say, if I had an angel show up who was 9 feet tall, had large wings, and a powerful third eye that was radiating, maybe just that having that spirit show up to me would change my life completely.
Yes, it does. They raise your frequency. You're in their energy field, and they're actually speaking to you and communicating. So,
and seeing them and communicating with them is a confirmation about who we truly are, how powerful we are to live in a universe with those spirits, and how comforting it is to know that they're there.
And that's really the big teaching, is that they are around us and we aren't alone. Even though we're born into forgetting and we think we're alone, we're not. They are around us. It's about what we want to do if we want to connect with them through our heart, not a mental decision because you think it'll be a fun thing, but through the heart, a deep heart desire that you're not even thinking of like consciously. It's just part of you, and it happened. My first experience was when I was 3, which I write about in my book, and then when I was 50, I had the next very large experience. And he told me that we had a pact before we were born. So I think that we make these decisions before we come into our life. And then we get involved in living our lives.
Well, there's more to it than just making the decision before we come into this life, because we've had a lot of experience even before that.
Yes, absolutely.
And you're known out there. They even have a name for you. What is that name?
The name is Saloria.
And what is another name they call you?
They've called me Harmony. Harmony, yes.
Yes, Harmony.
And I protested. I said, no, my name is Francine. And they said Harmony, because we use that name in ceremonies, in high-calling spiritual ceremonies.
Because that's your essence. And when you read the book, you realize that, you know, you're here really to be an unusual person, because it's not that you're a wimp. You had to stand up for yourself many times. And then there were people who you wouldn't stand up to because your heart would say, don't go there.
Yes, that's true.
And we're talking about in-laws and things like that. And I understand that. It's the expression of you know, forgiveness and understanding that other people can't help their limitations, and we can take it personally or not. And certainly you chose to honor the spirit in others.
Well, I feel that I'm here to create peace and love and harmony. And if I engage in battle with someone, once you go down that path, there's no end to it. It just, you're just engaging in battle with people.
Right, but there are a lot of people who are listening to this who say, but wait a minute, then we would just get beat up by everybody.
That's right. That's what I get told. So I've learned to disengage from people when I can who are that way, so that I don't have to get drawn into that.
Well, there was a time when you were managing with your husband a large business that
yes.
had many, many employees.
Yes.
And you had to know what's going on and
yes.
and tell the truth about things. You couldn't just absolve everybody of anything.
That's true. But I did it in a certain way to honor and respect each person, because each person is on their own journey and learning.
But you knew when you had to
yes,
be
I
tough.
Did. I did.
But you,
I did.
But you can be tough with honor.
Yes, as I tried. I did the best I could.
Right, right. But I can see that you had a, you know, it's in the book, how you grew through all of that. And we're, you know, we're challenged, and so the harmony in you really is the essence that the spirits, the masters who work with you talk about, that you do everything you can to create that.
I do, and I try through my workshops and healing circles and even individual healings to teach people to create harmony in their lives. Very important balance. Once we're out of balance, we are prone to illness, because the universe exists in balance and harmony.
Yet, as balanced as you are in that way, you've had incredible physical traumas in your life.
This is
ailments.
True.
And I see that as, you know, that you're working with a body that is so sensitive.
Yes.
That it's just, it can't resist a lot of the attacks that it's had made to you.
Yes, that's true. But here I am.
I know, it's
here
great.
Here I am, and I have survived a lot of challenges, and I always come back more torn, but still in there and doing my best to fulfill my mission, which I didn't even know I had until I was 50. But then, I was living that way without, it was sort of unconscious, like just the way I was.
Right, that's how you're designed.
But what I learned is, once you place your conscious intention on what you want, the power increases immeasurably. So once you know what your goal is, what your mission is, and you work toward that with conscious intention, whatever it is.
But you can't always win by wanting other people to change.
No, it's only about ourselves.
Right.
I learned that. Yeah, I thought that, you know, my love will, you know,
will change people. And it will change people who want to change because of it. But then there's a lot of resistance out there.
There is.
And you talk about that in the book, that you've been through many lifetimes. And not only on Earth, but all over the place. And yet you're attracted to come here for this struggle.
Yes. I think many of us are. We're drawn to Earth because when we leave, we still have people that we love and care about here. And even after they leave and they're in a higher realm with us, we still want to come back. We're always in transition. There are loved ones in the higher realms who have passed over, and there are loved ones here. So we do feel that attraction to Earth and humanity.
Right, but it also grows our souls and those of others, even those we don't know that we're coming to Earth for.
True.
And the more people who dig deep and find that song of the heart, those are people whose lights then are really expanded greatly. And that enhances the universe.
Well, that's what we're all here to do. We all play our role in our own special way.
And it ain't easy.
It isn't easy. I always say, I knew it was going to be difficult, God, but why did it have to be so difficult?
Because you chose that.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's amazing what you've been through. And you talk in your book about a past life that you were a Hopi Indian maiden who was the daughter of a medicine woman?
Medicine man.
Medicine man. Oh, yes. Right. A medicine man. And you became a medicine woman.
Yes.
And that was a very difficult life.
Very. And it was not that long ago. It was in the 1800s.
Right.
And the tribes were being decimated by the white people. And we needed to blend our tribes, added strength, because we lost our chief and another neighboring tribe lost their medicine man. And so I had to marry the chief and blend. In that way, we would blend the two tribes together.
And by doing that, you couldn't marry the man you loved.
I couldn't marry the one I loved. That's true.
And then you had a baby, and the baby didn't last long because the baby needed to be used by another tribe.
That's true. All these things went on, I tell you, in a long march of history. I experienced in that past life, that's one of the few that I did formally. Most of my past life have come back to me on my own, just through my own consciousness.
But your consciousness attracts a lot of information and a lot of spirit beings showing up to talk with you.
But you know how many people are in my life, especially in the earlier part of my life, who were in that Native American life? So many.
Right.
So many people. And then people from the ancient Egyptian life started showing up. I just look at somebody and say, do you ever have thoughts of like being an American Indian? Or do you ever think about ancient Egypt? And they say yes, and we start talking, and it turns out, you know, we have a lot of commonalities between us. And so you begin to recognize people who are here again, doing the same type of work, making amends for errors, doing their work.
And that's true for just about everybody, that we bring into our lives people from the past. I learned recently that in my past lifetime, I was married to a woman who didn't appreciate me. And she became my previous wife in this life. Luckily, that marriage ended in a divorce. And
she still didn't appreciate you.
Right, and it completed the karma of it. I ended it there.
Well, that's one of the reasons that we have such a high rate of divorce, I believe, in our time, is because people are able to separate in a legal fashion, which then cuts the cords so that they don't have to revisit this type of pain again with that person and hopefully learn from the experience and not have to repeat whatever the behavior was that led to the whole misunderstanding.
Right. So you've had many lifetimes, but it's nice to have them spelled out so you can see what they mean in this life.
Yes, and I think that the value of knowing your past lives is that you reclaim a part of yourself. And that is such a beautiful experience to have in your life, to reclaim that lost part of yourself. And you suddenly understand why you have that longing, why you have that urge to do a certain type of thing a certain way. It comes natural to you. You suddenly have an understanding for it.
Well, there were two lifetimes that you had, in one in the 5th century and one, maybe I think it was the 8th century, where in one lifetime you were a scholar named Yehuda.
You picked up on that one, huh?
It's right there in the book. And then there was another lifetime where you were named Ahikar, and you were a wise person who taught your nephew who was about to kill you.
Yes.
And you talked him out of it.
Yes, I did.
So it's so fascinating to know about these other lifetimes that we've had and to realize what we've been through, how we've been tried in the past, and how it keeps showing up. You were about, there was some surgery you were about to have years ago, and some Native American showed up just before your surgery to do a ceremony for you.
That was amazing. And they do show up. They do show up. And that when they come, it's rarely one. It's usually like you would think a whole tribe. And there's a certain way that they are arranged so that the...
Geometrically.
That they're arranged according to the roles that they play in the tribe. So the women and children, the warriors, the leaders, the people who have the spiritual wisdom, the elders, they are arranged in sequence.
In the geometry of it, they know where to stand to make it more powerful.
Yes, and then there's drumming. And the drumming kind of soothes you. So certain, the drumming and the singing, the chanting.
That helped that surgery.
That helps. And believe me, they've shown up more. Unfortunately, I needed them more than once. But they always show up. And it's quite stirring and beautiful and real. And I want to say one thing about all of these kinds of experiences, whether it was angels, light beings, past lives. I always look for confirmation in this life, in third dimension, because it, even though it's lofty and beautiful to have the experience, I want to know where it's grounded here. And so every experience that I have is grounded. It has a meaning here, and there is a result of...
There's purpose to it.
There's a purpose to it. It's not something that I'm just conjuring up in my imagination. It's grounded right here. And then I get my proof. And there have been times when I didn't get my proof for maybe 10 years or 15 years or maybe 5 years or a month or whatever. But it does come. It does come.
And then you go, aha!
And then I say, whoa.
Great. Now, I want to ask you about... you mentioned it in the book. There's a Rabbi Kessin who you know.
Yes.
I know a Rabbi Kessin, too.
They were twins.
Oh, okay. No, I know another one in Brooklyn.
Yeah, he was in Brooklyn. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Kabbalistic twin rabbis.
Yes. This one was incredible. And what's interesting is that one of them says that you're one of the 36 who are here to uphold the world. And from reading your book, I can agree with that. And yet, of course, you're here to uphold the world, and yet what you say is that love for family comes first. And that's true. We have to be grounded.
Well, when he said that, I thought he had just got a little too emotional.
Well, that's good for
so
him.
So it may, I can't imagine how that's possible, but he is quite a man here on Earth, and he did say that.
And what's interesting is yesterday I was talking to the universe about this 36 in relationship to this rabbi, and I was told, no, it's not 36 anymore, it's 35. And I said, why? And the rabbis might think this is heresy, but I said, why is it 35 and not 36? They said, because the 36 didn't work. There was always a kicker in there. And so they found that with 35, they lose the kicker, and it works better. I'm sure there's a geometry to 36 that was essential, but for some reason, there was a part of it that didn't work. So somehow they figured out how to straighten that out, and now there's 35.
Okay.
I'm only telling you what I hear. What do I know?
Well, obviously it wasn't working, because look at the mess that the world is in.
Exactly. So... But it's
it was
nice.
Working to an extent, but not.
But it's, you know, you've had such confirmation over your lifetime. You had a spirit come to you named Starlight.
Yes.
And Starlight is your buddy.
That was the most amazing. One of the most amazing. So many amazing, but that was really something when Starlight showed up.
And Starlight showed up in the ethers, came to see you, but you got to see him.
Yes, I was in a desperately unhappy at the time. I was married, and in the night, I was going through the tunnel, and I came to a way station in the tunnel, and there was an angel there, and she sent me back. She said, no, you cannot go any further. You must go back. You have work to do. And I went back. It's in the book. It's a very, really interesting story. And I come through the doorway, and there's Starlight waiting for me, this being of magnificent light, all turquoise and blue streaming from his eyes and his mouth and all around him. And he takes my hand and he leads me to a place. We sit knees to knees. And I felt, because of the body language, that it was an intimate relationship that I had with him. And he told me many things, and I said, I won't remember all of this. How am I going to remember? And he said, you will remember when the time comes. You will know. And eventually, he showed up many times for very specific types of healings. And I always was so overcome by his presence that I wasn't able to ask him, like, what our connection is. And it took a few years, and finally, one day, he did show up, and I said, who are you and how are we connected? And he told me that he was my spiritual soulmate. And I asked him if we had ever been incarnated together on earth, and he said, oh no, one of us is always watching over the other, and we cannot do that. And it was very beautiful. And he's there. Yeah, I've seen him in the higher realms. We are so multidimensional, and we are so powerful, so much more powerful than we know, once we start to allow that power to expand. But the thing is, it has to be disciplined. We have to use our power in a good way.
One way is that you went out and saved a boy from a tornado.
My soul traveled.
Yes.
Yeah, I've done a lot of things like that.
And that was a real boy who was in a real tornado, and you lifted him out of it.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
So power is there. You're using it.
I also saw myself when I was soul traveling, reclaiming lost souls who had passed over but were still doing the same thing that they did in life. And they didn't know that they were stuck. And it was my job to take them by the hand and lead them. But I didn't lead them to the light. I led them to other angelic beings who then took them further. So there
right.
was a
it's
lot
a
of
process. They just don't need light, they need process.
Yes, and so people need to know that there is tremendous support out there. When we are lost or feeling unloved, there is always loving support waiting. All we have to do is ask.
We need to trust the process. We need to know that this is a complex universe, a multidimensional complex universe that supports us in ways that we can't even imagine. And then we'd say, well, if it did, then why do I have all the trouble I do? Well, that's part of the journey of learning, of enhancing our own light, is to work through our struggles to get to the other side of it. And the far other side of it is to be back out there again and happy in that environment. And yet, even out there, we still have to process our previous life. We have to learn. We have teachers. It never stops, the growth and importance. And then we get to come back and try again in some other way. And hopefully this planet is going to be less polar in the future. And it
well,
be
I think
so
it
hard.
Will be. I think it will be because I've been shown. This is a lot of people in the spiritual field understand that this is the end of a long cycle. And so that's one of the reasons that we have all these hardships, because we're learning. We have the tools to learn and to heal ancient wounds. And that's what we're doing. And that's why everyone is in such emotional pain and trying to work themselves out of it right now. But there's going to be a new earth on a higher level, and we'll come back and we're going to learn, not through pain, but in the next long cycle, we're going to learn through joy. It's going to be a different way of being.
I want everybody out there to get that, okay? Make a note of that, because I don't want you to worry about the future. This is something that we can all look forward to, and yet we do have to work through the now. And let's just be more blessed doing it. Let's raise our frequencies the best that we can, because the higher our frequencies, the easier it is to overcome the struggle.
That's absolutely true. And it's easier to, when you get challenged by something, it's easier to meet the challenge in a higher way. It's easier to heal from illnesses when you are in the business of raising your vibration.
Right.
And we're never done. Whatever we think right. We've achieved, we still have more to go.
And you and I are in the business of helping people to do that, and we love that work.
I do
it's
love
so
my
satisfying.
Work. I know you do, too.
Yes. And so your name is Francine Vale, V-A-L-E. And your fascinating book is Song of the Heart, Walking the Path of Light. And, you know, it's a big book. And I loved every page of it. Because I was in it, and I was in it with my heart. And the heart, your heart reads through the whole book. And we learn about ourselves, we learn about life in ways that really can enhance us, and we can find more pleasure in this tough journey because we can believe in what's behind it.
Well, that's everything that I wrote was written for the purpose of helping people, and that was my goal. It was my mission. I did it, and still working at it. It's just what I do. It's what I do. Never.
Well,
ends.
You did a good job. I recommend people to pick up Song of the Heart. Where did they find it? Where do they find you?
The easiest way to find me is francinevale.com. And on my website, you can order the book. You can get to know me a little better. You can communicate with me through my website. And I invite everyone to come and check it out.
Oh, good. And it's so exciting to know you. And not just to interview you, but I'm really happy to be in the world with you.
Oh, thank you
with,
so much,
with you
Peter.
In this world.
I'm delighted to be in the world with you.
Oh, thank you. And we have fun together. And I met you at an event. It was so interesting because I was already reading your book and you were there. And I went, wait a minute.
That was so funny the way you came over to me. With you used to walk on Valentine Avenue, didn't you?
In the Bronx.
How did you know?
And that was where my grandparents lived.
You showed me the book under your arm. So.
And you and I are the same age, so we might have even bumped into each other in that day.
Very well could have.
That's exciting. And I'm very nostalgic, so I go back and I go, oh, those days were important, and you were there.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't know you yet.
We probably passed each other on the street many, many times.
Sure.
Yeah.
So... So you're really still talking with the universe and great spirits come through.
After the book was finished, I had some amazing experiences that...
will be in your next book.
I don't know. It's hard work writing a book, especially the way I do it.
Well, especially, this is quite a job that you did. And yet, you still can inform your audiences via radio and giving talks and... And you have so much more work to do because you're here with the goods. You got the goods.
Well, thank you, Peter. It's all coming from creation, creator, God, however we call it.
That's right. Good. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, H-E-A-R-T, river.org, or 212-222-7748. Francine, thank you so much. And everybody, thanks for listening.